This is Marketplace. I'm Kimberly Adams. Capping out a week of big economic data releases, we got a view this morning of the Federal Reserve's preferred inflation measurement for March, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index, or PCE. And the headline? Core PCE, that's excluding volatile food and energy, was up 2.8% from the year before, which is still well above the Fed's 2% target. That and much more to discuss with so little time, but we have Catherine Rampell with us from The Washington Post. And just Catherine today, but you are more than enough. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. You'll have to make do with only little old me.
I'm sure we'll be fine, but let's talk about PCE first. Hotter than expected, but not way hotter, but still not what the Fed wants to see, right?
Absolutely. Look, it could have been worse, and some other indicators that we saw recently made it look like it could be worse, but it's still not great. Definitely hotter than the Fed wants to see. And part of what was going on here is that it seems like consumers were dipping into their savings to keep spending, and that may be part of what's pushing prices higher and higher. And I think, there are risks ahead. It seems pretty likely that when the Fed next meets, they will signal that they're a little less confident than maybe they had been recently about how quickly we can get back to their target rate. 2%, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. And so what that means for interest rates, we'll have to see. But those rate cuts may not be coming as soon as many borrowers would like to see them happen.
Interesting. You mentioned savings. We've got Henry Epp coming up talking a little bit more about that savings rate. But we also got GDP numbers this week, and the U.S. economy is growing a little bit more slowly than folks expected. Can you talk about what's holding things back and sort of the interplay between GDP and PCE?
So the GDP numbers were much lower than they had been relatively recently, but I don't think they're anything to get too freaked out about at this point. The economy is still chugging along. We still seem to be doing much better than many of our peer countries abroad. But, those inflation numbers, still not great. I know that some people out there have been uttering the dreaded S word, stagflation, the idea that you might have inflation and stagnating growth. I don't think we are there yet. The economy still looks relatively hot. And I think if you kind of dig into the guts of the GDP report, it did not look quite as discouraging in any event as the headline number suggested.
I want to read a tweet from Diane Swonk, who's a chief economist over at KPMG and also regularly on Marketplace Morning Report. And she wrote this morning on X, "The data is in the wrong direction for the Fed and reflects the dry tinder that was ignited as financial markets rallied and tried to front run the Fed on rate cuts starting in November of 2023. That easing of financial conditions stoked inflation and created a floor which made it difficult for the Fed to get inflation to recede into the background, which is the primary goal. Now the Fed will be on hold on its own monetary policy purgatory as financial markets reverse." What's your take on that?
I think that's quite possible. It did look like the markets were getting ahead of the Federal Reserve. We're anticipating and pricing in rate cuts certainly much sooner than the Fed seemed to want the markets to act anyway, wanted market participants to act, which led to loosening financial conditions. And, as I just mentioned, and as you'll go into later in the show, savings rates are down, which means that if consumers are still spending as much as they had been before or more, but they're dipping into their savings, they may need to be purchasing more things on credit. And if credit is easier to come by, financial conditions are a little bit more lax, that will enable more and more spending, which, all of that stuff feeds into inflation, feeds into price growth. So all of these things are connected, certainly possible, as Diane hypothesize that part of the issue here is that the Fed's intended tightening of financial conditions has not been quite as tight as they intended, maybe because markets were getting ahead of them. But again, there's a lot of other stuff going on here too. I think consumers really got used to spending. We saw a huge spending spree that began earlier in the pandemic for goods in particular, that hasn't really abated. And so as long as there's that really strong demand out there, enabled either by income gains and or credit, that's going to help push prices further, unless you see some major supply side changes.
In the minute or so we have left, I mean, we saw consumer sentiment is down, but as you said, the spending remains strong. Do you think consumers, aka us, have just kind of baked in and accepted inflation? Or, you know, have we ever really done the thing that people predicted we were going to do, which is change our spending habits based on inflation?
Usually, there's this line that economists say that the cure for high prices is high prices. That basically, when prices get really high, they discourage people from buying stuff. And that in and of itself should lead to either lower prices or at least slower price growth. And we have seen slower price growth, but not quite, as we've been discussing, not quite where the Fed wants it to be. And it's not clear why. I don't know, again, if consumers kind of got used to spending as much as they have been. Again, at some point, they should hit some limits. Particularly if their incomes are not sustaining, are not able to sustain that level, that or that increased level of spending. Or, you know, I don't know, people are feeling flush, you know, lots of other reasons. People, you know, the value of their homes, for example, have gone up. So that may also, that wealth effect may also be enabling more spending. But I think it's a bit of a puzzle at this point.
Dissertations on that to come, I'm sure, in the next couple years. Catherine Rampell at The Washington Post, thank you so much.
Thanks, Kimberly.